dictates that, quote, in the observation over the history of computing hardware, the number of transistors on integrated circuits doubled approximately every 2 years. The law is named after Intel founder Gordon E. Moore, who described the trend in his paper in 1965. Ladies and gentlemen, this sighting coming straight off Wikipedia, we have a definitive description of Moore's Law today. As always, I am your host, Hype the DJ. I'm right here with another round of Trending Mobile Technology. This is episode 66, right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. As always, you can find me right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, and I'm also on Google Plus under the handle of Hype the DJ. Feel free to come on in and take a look at my hangout as well, not my hangout, my community, Hyper's Tech Talk. That's it. I don't do too awful much there, but I need to get back into that. It's kind of one of the things I'm going to get back to doing the first of the year. A little bit more interaction on that side of things and move on from there. My special guest today, this is my pre-Christmas show. We're going to be talking a little bit of different things. It'll still be mobile tech, but it'll be a little bit on the different side of things. Coming in from PookNinja.Podomatic.com, shooting the shit, I'm here with Obi-Wan Jabroni. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back, and sorry to get you early this morning, Piper, again.
You know, I said it a couple weeks ago, I do what I can to accommodate my UK folk. I've got you, I've got PK, I've got Mart, you know, between the three of you guys, I mean, I do what I can. You guys have been up late for me, I can at least return the favor once or twice, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think next time I'll repay the favor to you and do it at 3 o'clock a.m. my time.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. Our first story, and this is something, this is actually really interesting because you and I, or we talked about this last time you were on with PK, Obi-Wan. Mad Cats, coming off of The Verge, cited 10 December, quote, Mad Cats now shipping its $249.99 Mojo Android game console. Obi, before we go ahead and break open this article, first thoughts.
Too expensive. $249, seriously. I mean, if you just add $50 to that, you could get a Wii U, right? Like Nintendo. Everyone knows Nintendo at this point. Games on there now.
Yeah, but so. it's Android base. It's $300. I mean, how much are you paying for PlayStation and Xbox? Now, granted, I'm not saying this is a rival, but I'm just saying it's a gaming console.
Yeah. To answer your question, the price of PlayStation 4 is $399, right? Dollars.
Right.
And the Xbox is $499.
Right.
It's a good, you know. To me, though, we've got to talk about the Ouya, right? I mean, $100 for a tiny little cube. I mean, it was a good deal, but I, to give a cheap plug to Twitter again, I know we talk about Twitter a lot, on TNT, their news show. I heard Tom Merritt say, well, if you want to play bone games on your TV, go at it. And to me, I was just like, you know what? He's nailed it. I mean, that was a good point. They need to get, if they want to make this successful, they need to get the game, like the big game, but people recognize, we don't want Angry Birds on your TV. We want Tekken card.
There you
know,
go.
Stuff like that. We want Namco Bandai. We want Namco Bandai on board in a Tekken game, and we want Sonic. And I know Sonic's on the Android.
Yes.
Now, so you know, I don't know. Maybe for $250. If it was $150, I think that'd be more. I think that'd be better. But I mean, Mad Cats though. I mean, they do make good hardware. I will say, I do own a couple of Mad Cats, like joypads and a fight stick, and they do make good stuff actually. But for $250, I just can't swallow this pill, and I won't be buying it because I've just spent nearly $1,000 on the PS4 and Xbox.
Right.
So.
Right. I'm sitting here I'm looking at this article, and it doesn't look like anything too awful exciting. I mean, it looks like you got a regular standard Xbox controller, you got a micro console. It's powered by a Tegra 4 processor, 16 gigs built-in storage with an expansion slot for micro SD with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.0. So this is definitely cutting edge. This is designed to, it's got top-of-the-line specs. I mean, Bluetooth 4.0, that hasn't been out for very long. So therefore, we know it's going to have that low power capability. The big thing that I see staring me in the face right now. Two things, actually. Number one, Android 4.2.2. I mean, it's an old OS. The first thing we need to do is we need to get up to 4.4. Okay. I mean, we're up to 4.4.2 already. So we're two builds ahead of where they are. Okay. At least give us to 4.3. No sighting that I'm aware of, at least, since the production of this article, if 4.3 or 4.4 is due for this. The second deal breaker that I'm seeing on this is latency, because there is a little bit of latency when you go Bluetooth on a controller. So then that leads me to my next question, Obi. How do controllers, the wireless controllers, are they still RF or have they gone Bluetooth?
They're Bluetooth. I believe they are Bluetooth.
How do they get around the latency?
Maybe it's a different technology of Bluetooth. I am just totally wrong on this, but I know the PS3 that uses some form of Bluetooth, because you have to you have to pair it and stuff. Because I'll give you an idea of the initial PS4 setup. What it said was, when I first turned on my PlayStation 4, it went through the normal setup language, blah blah blah. But the first thing it did before that, it said, please plug in your micro USB or mini USB cable to the PlayStation 4.
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, that was very strange, because back in the PS3 when that came out, all you have to do is just press the PlayStation button, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a different type of Bluetooth. It's definitely not RF. Maybe Microsoft is kind of RF, because I tell you what, Pipe, I can go outside my front door and that controller still works on the 360.
I was gonna say, that's something else you got to worry about is distance limitation with Bluetooth, because Bluetooth range right now is still about 33 feet max. I don't know what that converts meters over there. Sorry, but you know, you're talking about maybe 10 meters.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how Sony and Microsoft are doing this, because they're both wireless. And that point I wanted to bring up with the Mad Catz console was, if they can add some sort of remote play to this, you know, i.e. Wii U, PS4, PSVR.
Uh-huh.
So in theory, you can control this console with your phone /Android tablet and use Wi-Fi.
Oh.
Obviously, you have a controller option too, with people who want. But if you're outside your home and you want to kind of tap into play a game on the go, and you've rooted your console, Mad Catz console, and maybe you've got ROMs on there or something, and you kind of want to just, I don't know, kill some time. Maybe if they add some sort of remote play feature, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Got like an adventure game or something that you can play that'll store in the cloud. Let's say you're a big subscriber of Mobage and you're playing one of their little adventure games, and then you're out and about playing it on the road, and then maybe get home, or something like Tekken Card, where you know you got XP and gold and HP and stuff like that. You know, maybe you can come back and throw
carries over, right?
Like we were talking about last time with PK, where they've got the remote play or something. Just by way of Wikipedia, the PS3 controller is supported via Bluetooth. Same thing with the Xbox controller. This is coming off a Wikipedia page. The Xbox controller, I don't see a sighting for the PS4. It just says DualShock Wireless. It doesn't go in and talk about how the wireless is set up, though.
Well, you know, it must be a proprietary Bluetooth or something, because I'll tell you what, that range, is pretty good, because I can use both controllers from a fair distance. I don't know about the PlayStation side of things, but definitely with the 360, like I said, I can go outside my front door and it still works.
Yeah, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah, it's got to be some sort of RF, I don't know, because with Bluetooth, that would never work.
We'll see that the Kinect, though, that's also set to work like a pretty good distance on the new Xbox 2, isn't it?
With Kinect 2.0 is what the official name is. It works in smaller rooms this time. So if you've got you don't need your 8 feet room, and because not everybody lives in it.
Yeah.
So Yeah, it's a better camera on it, basically. It's 1080. I want to say it's 1080p, actually, that camera. And you know what, though, Piper? I've seen Skype on the Xbox One.
Right.
I'm pretty impressed. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it will, you know, if you've got a few people, you know, if you've got family over, you know, in a different part of the States and you're in one state and, you know, you got your kids there and your kids are running around, it will follow them. The camera will actually follow them.
I've seen
zoom in on people.
Yeah, I've seen a demo where when you turn it on, it goes up and down and left, right, and it scans the room and all that. And it looks kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm not seeing anywhere where it talks about the Xbox One controller wireless. Talking about problems with it, plenty of problems with it, but I mean, no Wikipedia page yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've obviously it's wireless. PS4, they've got something working in the background because, at least now don't get me wrong, when you go from Android, iOS, you know, the mobile space to the console space, perhaps, you know, you can boost up something or, you know, also I utilize it in a keyboard and an audio streaming capacity as well. So therefore there might be a little bit of a difference. Maybe, you know, that six axis translation you don't have the latency in Bluetooth. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about the technology to be able to cite one way or the other. Maybe, you know, you Pook and PK can talk about it tonight and come to a better decision than what I'm given. But I mean, if it's Bluetooth, it would be, I mean, you know, this Mad Cats one, it's operating on Bluetooth. And the first thing that screams to me is latency. Now, don't get me wrong. It's got a decent processor on it. And I'm going to loop this around back to the show notes. It's got a decent processor. It's got that Tegra 4 built into it. You know, so it's not a beast and it's not like overpriced and overcosted, but I mean, it is something that can manage those resources. And, you know, you can shut it down and turn it back on so it wipes out the RAM and everything like that. 16 gigs built in, I mean, it's decent. Plus, you can, it says it's expandable SD, but it doesn't cite what, you know, how big. Is it just 16? Is it 32? Is it 64? I could perceive that to be a deal breaker for some people. You know, I'm agreeing with you. You know, we want to be able to put these games on our TVs, but see, my way to get around this, and I can, you know, this is $249, but I can cut that down by about $200 with a little cable that I can plug into, or even actually, I can cut it down. You can cut it down $200 with a Chromecast
or an Ouya.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know. I'm not quite sure the direction they're going with this. I mean, I got a feeling it would sell, and it would be one of those things where they would look at it and say, "Oh yeah, you know, it'd be another console to put in. You know, maybe." Collect us, but you get a cheapskate and penny pincher like me on there, and I've got the MHL adapter for my Samsung. I'm going to be getting my Note 2. I'm going to be getting an MHL adapter for my Nexus. You know, I'm seriously considering getting a Chromecast. You know, so you put those three into it, and poof, it totally changes the groundwork of everything. So therefore, you know, it wouldn't be on your radar to price. It wouldn't be on my radar on account of price. And, you know, you're looking at 422 Jelly Bean, you know, I without playing it, you know, and just looking at these ratings, it's not too awful exciting in my camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's got one good thing going. It's got the branding behind it, in my opinion, like Mad Cats. Everybody knows the Mad Cats name and the Mad Cats logo, especially the logo.
My God, they've been around for, 20 years?
They've been
30 years?
I remember Mad Cats for me. My first experience with Mad Cats, and that's Mad Cats with a Z at the end.
Right, right.
Because a Z or a Z is cool these days. But to me, they made the Z cool, by the way.
Yeah.
But they've been around since, for me, my first Mad Cats was a memory card on the PS1.
1989, where they debuted with Sega and Nintendo.
Wow, they've been around. Donkey years.
They've been around.
Wow, yeah. I think with gamers, this might, because when the Ouya came out, it was like, okay, yeah, so here's this thing for $100, mm-hmm. you know, and no one everyone's heard of the company because it was a Kickstarter, but it did right. very well.
Yeah.
But then no one got their console for months on end. After
well, they ran into
really
problems. They ran into production site. Problems is what they ran into. And
yeah.
everybody's, you know, like, hey, we Kickstarted this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they, everybody started complaining. And instead of posting an update on their website or their Kickstarter page or whatever, they panicked. Right. And then they pushed it, you know? So.
Well, yeah, because we was talking about the Ouya on the, you know, Fat right. Ninja Games Talk Radio. That tells you how old this is now.
Well, yeah.
It tells you how technology has just gone forward, doesn't it?
Moore's Law. The circuit's doubled, you know. Now, granted, they've been talking about the Ouya for, I want to say, a little over a year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so we haven't quite hit the two-year mark concerning that. But, I mean, from the time that was announced to where we are now, you think about we've gone through the Ouya, we've gone through the PS4, we've gone through the Xbox One. Now we're talking about this Mad Catz Android device. You know, you're talking about the space of 2 years, Obi. So Moore's Law definitely applies to this. In the case that, you know, it has evolved and it has changed and it has doubled.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, it's got the name behind it.
Yeah, it does.
I just for people who have not bought the PS4 and Xbox One, you know, for people who not bought these new consoles, I think it might do well in that space.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, does it have a place? Not in my. I don't think it has a place. Not right now.
I agree.
If the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, if those two consoles weren't out, you know, the new gen. Maybe it would. I mean, and plus the price. I can't swallow that. If it was 150, maybe, you know, if it was 149,
yeah.
I think I like that price better than 249 is way too much. But that's how Mad Catz are. I mean, you buy a Mad Catz, I know you're not familiar with fight sticks and stuff, but if you buy a tournament edition fight stick, yeah, that will cost you over $100 easily.
I actually believe, and this is going to date me and give you a real insight to my inner thoughts. But I was when I got a PS1, I was big on the 3D Descent. Did you ever play that way back in the day?
Oh yeah, I didn't play it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, Descent.
I know what it is.
If I'm not mistaken, Mad Catz produced a double analog stick for that game.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a double pilot stick. I don't know if you, it,
oh,
like,
nice.
Back in the days of PC
oh, yeah.
gaming, your flight sims,
yeah.
you had your joystick on one hand and your throttle on the other. This is a double analog stick. It sucked for anything except Descent. And, I mean, it had the toggle control. It had all the buttons and everything. You know, fingers and pinky control and all the, I mean, everything was there. I'm pretty sure that was Mad Catz. And that was a pretty penny as well. It was huge, but, you know, and that was a pretty penny as well. Mm. I think I had a fight stick for Street Fighter 2 on my Super Nintendo, I think. Don't quote. It might have been something different, but, you know, it just, they do good
stuff. Yeah, well, they were around.
They've got good stuff, so don't get me wrong
on
that.
Yeah.
So,
they do build good stuff.
Yeah, they do, and they've got the longevity. I mean, they've been around since 89, which kind of surprised me. I bought my first gaming console. My first gaming console was the Super Nintendo. So, you know, if that just... And so it was definitely after Sega. But, I mean, coming out in 89 with a Sega Nintendo association, you know, you're talking, you got the chops, you got the big guns for it, you know, you got the stuff that's going on. And we're, like, way off base now. But, you know, the 249, that's a hard pill for me to swallow. If you just want me to be able to put my Android games on my TV, I can do that and save myself a hell of a lot of money. The 422 operating system for most people, and old school, I had him on recently, and he and I had talked about Microsoft to great length for over 2 hours. And he told me, you know, I might be looking at things from a too critical eye. You know, I'm the exception to most rules because I'm such an Android, because I'm such a power user, you know. So with that in mind, the 422 for most people might not be a deal breaker. For me, it is because we're at 442 now. You know, if I just want to be able to throw stuff up on my TV, I can do it through Chromecast. I can do it through an MHL interface. OB, final thoughts on this Mad Catz game console?
You know, it might do well. I'm going to wait for reviews, but, you know, I think it might do well. Like you said, it's got the pedigree, right?
Right.
I didn't know Mad Catz have been around since 89. I honestly thought they've been around since... the the PS, they came out as an alternative for, you know, because I remember back in the day, Sony memory cards were very
outrageous. You know. And Mad Catz goes producing, what was it, a 50-block card for like $10?
Yeah, which always broke on you, by the way.
mine actually worked. I went in and I got to a point when I went to buy my PlayStation 1, I went to the KB Toys at the time. And I got out on a first name basis with the guy there, with the manager. And he's like, hey, you know, you don't want to buy that memory card because it's too expensive. I was like, well, I was told that off brand weren't any good because I was looking at the PlayStation card. He's like, this new generation right here. And he pointed to the Mad Catz. It was dark blue, I think, and it had a bulge on. He's like, 50 blocks on this one. He's like, $10. He's like, if it breaks in 30 days, bring it back and I'll swap it out. I was like, dude, you just made a sale. And, you know, so, so, you know, that was my first interaction with Mad Catz, was a memory card. But they've been around, they've got their chops on it. They've been out since the days of Sega, 1989, you know, so they know what they're doing when it comes to the video game space. As far as this goes, I don't think it's, you know, it's going to have to be one of those, we'll see what happens and move forward from there.
For me, though, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until it goes down in price, because I remember this being announced in our local retail store, Hiroko Game. They posted a lot of comments were just like, no, too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of comments was, what's the point of this, you know, when Xbox and PS4 are out, you know, because at that time they were kind of coming out and everyone knew. And it was, that's what the common users saying on Facebook.
Yeah.
Even they know. And that was surprising to me because, you know, let's be honest, you know, people on Facebook comments are just...
If I'm going to drop that kind of money, you know, $249, if I'm going to drop that kind of money, I might as well save for another week or two and go up to the big game console.
Honestly, go to the big boys.
Because you're talking about a big investment, even for a cheapskate like me. I'm not the guy. I don't have every game console that's out there. I don't think I've ever had every game console that's out there. I've been, you know, it's always been single, maybe double console. I've got the Wii that sits there because, you know, I like playing my Wii. I really do. I can't swallow the pill for the Wii U yet, but, you know, I like the Wii.
No, yeah, and Nintendo's all, you know, it's family friendly, too.
Exactly. You know, for this one, you know, Android's got, they've got some good games, but if it's just a simple thing to throw in, unless they're going to come out with some heavy hitters, you know, if they're going to come out with like a good FPS that's Android based that requires that extra Tegra horsepower, I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think they need exclusives. That's the key word with this as well. They need exclusives. What you can't get on the phone/tablet space as well, because let's be honest, you can't play a first person shooting game on your tablet or phone unless you've got a controller.
Right. I agree. So that's totally understandable. You know, Moore's Law is definitely an apply on this one with the Mad Catz, and it's going to have to be a thing where we're going to have to sit back and see. You know, I know that they're pushing, and with Christmas coming up, there's a lot of people that are looking to go that extra mile, and you know, it's going to have to, it might have to revisit this in 6 months or so and see what happens with it.
I'll have to come back.
Yeah, you're going to have to get you and PK on. I've sent out invitations for February for you guys. Getting you guys, you,
CES,
PK, CES. Now, granted, there's going to be the Vegas is in mid January, but there's a CES that's going to be in. Where is it? Somewhere over in the UK. But there's supposed to be a UK version of CES in February.
Oh, really?
That's why I'm putting you guys in February. I got people coming in for January. I don't know if I'm going to break it down then, but there's also going to be a trade show in February that I want you guys in.
I didn't know about that. Okay, that's cool. Talk about CES real quick.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the next, before we go on to the next thing, I'm looking forward to the trend this year on CES.
I am too. Last year, I was shocked TVs. Last year with the 4K TVs and the release of those. I was really surprised.
Because I got it wrong in the email, because I replied back and I said it was OLEDs. That was the year before, wasn't it? OLED.
Yes, OLEDs were the year before.
Okay.
Last year was 4K.
Okay, so it's okay. Got 4K. Oh man, that tells you how much attention I paid to CES last year.
Yeah, no, nobody, and that's the thing.
4K, yeah, they come. Wow. Wow.
Nobody really paid attention to CES last year. Like, okay, CES, here we go, the breakdown, TVs, and that was it. I'm just like,
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm pulling up these articles on CES, and they're like, okay, so they produced a 4K TV, they produced a 4K TV, they produced a 4K TV, they produced a 4K TV. Okay, move on. I'm like,
You know what, Piper? The console space with this is the thing, like, yeah. They need to, that's my initial thought with this 4K stuff is the PS4, they do support 4K, by the way.
No.
The HDMI cable is 4K. I definitely know the Xbox One because, Major Nelson, the community guy for Microsoft, did say this cable supports 4K.
Oh my god.
So, they're ready. They're ready. I don't know about I know in Sony's wisdom, they probably do support it, but it's probably locked away behind firmware, probably. I don't know if the cable supports it, but, I mean, Sony being Sony, they have to support 4K, right? Because these consoles, don't forget, they have to last around 10 years.
Yeah, but see, here's the drawback. There's people that, even when the PS5 comes out, if it comes out, like, in 2 years or even next year, you're going to buy it, right?
I don't know. I'm running out of space. I tell you, I'm running out of space.
And I read a good article the other day where 4K TV, the way it's supposed to work is you have to sit twice the diagonal. So if you got a 50-inch 4K TV, you have to sit within between 50 and 100 inches from that screen in order to get the full effect. I don't know. I'm not sold on 4K
yet.
Yeah,
I mean, 4K as well. Yeah, not yet. I mean, remember the transition from SD to HD? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the prices?
Yeah, it was ugly.
People are going to adopt. Yeah, exactly. But then again, you got Vizio now for you guys in the States. So
their quality, you know, though, Obi.
I can see Vizio coming out with
their quality, though. It's not. You know, yeah, sure, you can knock off a couple $100 and change the brand name, but their quality just isn't there. I don't know. Maybe
they've got the specs though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll have to when I get back into that market. I'm not looking. I'm trying to get through Christmas first. And how's that for a hell of a segue? Talking about Christmas. Christmas is next week, Obi, and I had, oh my god! A few months ago, I sent out an invitation to do a buyer's show, and scheduling being what it was, and time being what it was. Seriously, I got my ass handed to me last semester. I passed all my classes though. Check that shit out. Yeah, Christmas is next week, and we're just gonna do a little bit of a mini buyer's show right now between you and me, Obi. Here's what we're gonna say. We're gonna put you on a $2,000 budget. Okay, so you got $2,000 to spend on you. So yep. What's it gonna be? Let's hear your top five.
All right, number five. And I got $2,000 here to play with.
$2,000.
I'm probably gonna blow it already. $2,000. I think it's gonna go already, Piper. So my number five is a MacBook. Any Apple computer we're talking about, all of the range. So because everyone's different, and you know, and everyone's got different needs. I think either go with a desktop, the iMac, if you're not gonna go anywhere with it. But I think for my pick, it's gonna, and because I've got $2,000, it's gonna be the Mac Mini.
The Mac Mini.
No.
Really?
I was just joking. But okay. I'm on this $2,000 budget. God damn it. No. I think for a person buying a MacBook, I think one of the Air is probably the one to go for, or maybe the Pro. Again, it depends on your needs.
All right.
For me personally, it has to be the Air for me. Okay. I mean, it's light. Take it anywhere with you. And you've got an Air Piper, so yeah. You can
the beast.
You know.
All right. MSRP on the MacBook Air is $1,100 US. That's the bare minimum. They've got one that's $999. Well, I take that back. The $1,100 is one step up. The bare bones is $999. Okay, so we got the MacBook Air in there. Item number two.
Yep. Item number two is. Okay, so these two I tested out thoroughly this week, and I picked, and we're talking about gaming handheld consoles here, and the PlayStation Vita Wi-Fi, because I know I don't know if you can get the 3G one anymore. I think you can. I want to say you can. It's getting very disappointing. Tony has said, you know what, more people are buying the Wi-Fi. So yeah, the PlayStation Vita Wi-Fi, and when I said I was testing two out, that was going up against the 3DS, the Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I just think the Vita's got more. Yeah, I think the Vita's got more functionality. I really do, because let's imagine you got kids and they don't have a tablet, right?
Mm-hmm.
This thing, Piper, we didn't even touch on this last time. This Vita has got an email client as well. It's got, you can get emails on it. Now, I think we did touch on it last time actually, but I mean, for a kid who doesn't have a phone or a tablet, I mean, you know, maybe they won't use email, but it's there. You know, like we said, we've got the messaging, it's got a browser. You know, like I said, I tested them both out this week and I thought, you know, the 3DS is great for what it is. Just Nintendo doesn't get the online space as well.
I'll agree with that.
I will say that Nintendo recently updated their 3DS. So now you can use your Nintendo ID instead of, I don't know if friend codes are still in effect.
No, they're not. You actually use your me, your MII.
Okay. That's great to know. So they're using usernames now, which is fantastic. But they've only just got into it. PlayStation and the other ones have been doing this since launch, since the PS3, and Microsoft been doing it since 05 with using it. Shit, they were doing it with the original. I'm talking about original Xbox. They had Xbox Live, and they were using usernames back then in 2000 and whatever it was, you know, 2001. And Nintendo have just recently jumped on the ID thing. Come on. I mean, Nintendo have got the games, yeah, sure, they've got the branding, but I think the Vita, in my opinion, if you can swallow the pill of those proprietary memory, this is the bad bit now.
Right.
The proprietary memory cards is...
I was going to say
don't
that.
Don't take SD card.
I was going to bring that up. I'm like, wait a minute, but you know, you're giving everybody, and I mean everybody, we're talking on a global scale here, the biggest thorn in the ass with the Vita is the proprietary memory cards, because that's what, I mean, you buy their system, and if you want anything, you've got to buy their stuff. You have to. It's not like Mad Cats where, you know, you could buy the PlayStation 1 and go out and get a 50-block memory card for half the cost. You know, you have to use their proprietary sticks, you know, and getting an endorsement from you on the PS Vita, you know, that's a big step. I mean, you know, you're talking those proprietary cards.
Yeah.
Now,
there is a...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, after you.
Real quick, there is a reason I put the PSV in here, and it's the integration with the PlayStation 4.
That's what I was going to ask.
I think this is going to be huge. Honestly, I think Sony has got behind it now. I think they're going to say, look, you can do this. It's basically the Wii U on steroids, in my opinion. This is my final reason why I put in there over the 3DS. It was just like, okay, yeah, if you have weight, I mean, you can survive on an 8 gig memory card. You just got to kind of balance everything. Right. Yeah, you got to delete stuff all the time, but you can survive. I mean, for me, the sweet spot would be 16 gig, if you know. Because that's what I have in it. The price was ridiculous, but I mean, they've got 32 now, and I want to say those cards are like $100.
Wow.
Like, nearly. But you know what? These memory cards are tiny. They're the size of your fingernail.
Man.
They are, so if you lose one of these things, you are kind of screwed. Now, let's talk about the 3DS memory real quick.
Okay.
This takes normal SD cards.
Yeah, I see
SD
this,
cards
yeah.
for 3DS. But, but it's just, like I said, Nintendo, I mean, they've got your games, your Marios, your Mario Karts, and this and that. The 3DS and Wii U don't talk to each other, you know?
Right.
I think for a lot of gamers, I think if, you know, if they, let's paint a quick scenario here. You go to your families, and your family's boring, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You got your PlayStation 4 sat at home, which you got for this year Christmas, and you got your PlayStation Vita, what you got 2 years ago or whenever, and you're bored and you want to play, and you can, because if they've got Wi-Fi, you can turn it on remotely. And I think that's going to be used this year.
You think? According to old school, and this is coming on the last time I spoke with him. Windows Mobile 8. Remember how we did some pretty hard backing? He actually gave me a pretty decent challenge. He told me to go out and get and find one, you know, to go to the Windows store. I don't have one here, but I do have a Best Buy. And he told me to go out and give one a test drive. He said, it's different. It is not what I've come to appreciate or what I've come to despise in Windows 5, 6, and 7. Okay? He says it's got the integration to Xbox. It's got, you know, it adds that gaming perspective into it. Now, I don't know the depth of the gaming perspective on this, but I took him up on that. You know, I'm not one to back down from a challenge, and definitely in this, you know, if it comes to changing my beliefs, suspending my belief in this, to bring the integration, you know, I'd be interested to do it. You know, you're citing that Vita and Sony have gotten together on this. They get the mobile thing now, okay? So, last time you were on with PK Punk, we talked extensively about gaming in the mobile space. So, you know, PlayStation has their Vita, they've got their Android app, Xbox has Windows Mobile 8, no third-party apps, and seeing as they've got their own proprietary sandbox, I believe that they're going to stay that way in the first place, or anyway. But, you know, the evolution into mobile space, I think that's requirement now. I mean, you know, we talked about in the earlier story, Mad Catz is 422 Android. You know, what do we want to be able to do? We want to be able to put these games on our TV. We want to play it on the big screen. We want to be able to get it off of our 5, 6, 7-inch device, 10-inch device in certain cases, and get it up on the big screen. We discussed various ways of doing that without having to go out and spend $249. So, you know, the seamless integration, I believe, is the next step in this market. Would that be off base?
Oh, no, you're totally right. And just to go back a little bit, Microsoft do have their own app on Android and iPhone.
Oh, do they?
It's called Smart Glass. There's two Smart Glass apps.
Yeah, Smart Glass. Right. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
And you can control your, I know on the Xbox One Smart Glass, you can actually control your, actually on the 360 one as well, you can control your console with it. So, and if there's any bit that you need to input text, you can bring the keyboard on the Xbox One. I don't know if this works on the 360 Smart Glass, because there's two Smart Glass apps. It's very confusing.
Right, right. Well, the code's probably different from one console to another.
Oh, yeah. There's different backends, I'm guessing. So if there's anything that you need to input text on the Xbox One, you can do it on your phone/tablet, and it'll do it. You can see it doing it on this, and it actually works pretty damn well, I gotta say. Also, Sony, they've got the same thing as well. You can control your PS4 through your app or your PlayStation Vita, so you've got both choices there. Now, to go back on the Microsoft thing, I would try Windows 8 on a tablet or a device if they were cheap enough. You know, this is what I was saying last time as well. Microsoft need to release not a business end, a normal consumer end type of device, and I'm talking iPad, iPod, touch kind of device, where I don't need to be tied to any contract, because there's no way I'm getting a Windows phone, no chance, because I'm going to be tied down to a 2-year contract.
That's the same argument that I pose, and that's the same argument that old school posed as well. I default to him to a lot in the corporate space, just because he works in it, in the Microsoft environment, you know, financial institutions, etc. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, I bought my Note 2 outright, you know. I upgraded my girlfriend's phone not too long ago, got her an HTC One. I bought that phone outright, you know. I don't want to have to worry about a contract. So I threw it out to him. I'm like, so let's just say here, if Microsoft were to be able to throw out a, you know, for lack of a better term, a Project Nexus, you know, here's this top-of-the-line device. It's not the most spectacular specs, but, I mean, they're above par. We're going to send it out. We're going to make it unlocked. We're going to send it out for, you know, 32 gig size or 64 gig size for less than $400. And he's like, that's what they need to do. So, Obi, with that perspective, you know, Windows, it's not spectacular specs. Okay, we're talking comparable to Nexus 5, all right? So maybe not the Snapdragon 800 to be the Snapdragon 600. Maybe not 64 gigs of memory, maybe 16 or 32 sizes. No SD card, non-removable battery, you know, you've got your basics. So at that, unlocked, less than $400, does that make it appealing, Obi?
Make it 16 and 250.
Really?
And it's got, and I can control my Xbox. Yeah, and I can... and give me, I mean, as long as I can do my Xbox One stuff, i.e. go, they've got the Xbox One store. See, this is what I was saying too. They need, I think they need a gamers edition. I really do. I think brand it Xbox.
Right.
Put the Xbox store on there. You know, okay, fair enough. Don't give us memory, whatever. I mean, just give us 16 gig and, you know. But don't take a gig of that, or 2 gigs of that, and say 16 gig, you know, because that's I hate that. But anyway, yeah, I think they need to do that. I think a consumer grade device like that, that gamers would eat that up. I really do. I honestly think, because there's no way I'm getting one of their other tablets too, because they're what
expensive.
$600, $700
expensive.
You know,
and this is this is where my number one comes in with the tablets. When Surface 2 first came out, I did a breakdown and recap, and the specs on that, it was actually looking really impressive. I was considering Surface 2 for MySpace, but then I realized that, hey, you know, Surface 2 doesn't have the AV. That the capabilities that I need for what I'm going into. It isn't. I mean, no matter what anybody says, the audiovisual space, the production space, the graphic space is still dominated by Apple. And it still is, and it's going to be. Yeah. I mean, even though Jobs is gone, they're still, and the MacBook, I'm sorry, not the MacBook, the iPad Air is a definitive example. That's a definitive example that Mac is still dominant in this space. And that was the deal breaker for me. That do I think Surface is still a good thing? Yeah, I do, but it doesn't function for me. I've seen it work. I've seen it do great things. I've had plenty of conversations with people. You know, when it first came out, I was just like, oh, come on. They're trying to stay competitive. They need to get out of this. Yeah, everybody knows I'm not a fan of Microsoft, but, you know, Surface, it's got lots of good things for its space. It's designed for the executive, okay? It's not designed for the engineer. It's designed for the executive.
Well, I'm totally willing to give Microsoft a chance. I really want to give them, and I really want to try Windows 8, but they're making it very difficult for me without spending at least £1,000.
You got to sacrifice a small dog and a child in order to get it. Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
And the price tag, it's not there.
So we moved on from the PlayStation Vita to tablets, but I'm gonna, and that was a good one, because my number three is a Nexus tablet.
The Nexus?
Now, the Nexus tablet. The reason I went to a tablet was because, you know, I think that's the kind of the sweet spot with the screen size from the phone as well. And plus you're not tied down to a contract with and this is the great thing about, you know, Google, they're doing it, and Apple, they make devices where they give you that choice where, okay, yeah, you want to be tied to a contract with the phone, fair enough, here's that. But if you don't want to be tied down to a contract, here's the iPad or the iPod. And that's what's great about it, because that's what we want. We want choice. We don't want to be stuck in a 2 year whatever contract, you know, paying out the butt, you know. It's terrible.
As a Nexus 7 user also, I can say that is a beautiful size. It is. I mean, I can...
Exactly.
If I could get my Note 2 in that size, I doubt I would upgrade ever again. Because that is, now granted, I can't imagine holding that damn thing up to my head and talking on it. That size, I mean, I can throw it in my back pocket and off I go. I don't have to worry about putting it in my bag all the time because it's that size where I could throw it in my back pocket. I'm more concerned right now about dropping the darn thing because it is still just the Gorilla Glass, but it is still breakable, and I've seen plenty of sightings where people have it slipped out of their hand and they've dropped it. You know, so that's always my biggest fear when it comes to my devices. But it does have that versatility. It is the type of thing where, no, granted, I wouldn't pick up the Nexus 7 and throw it in my toolbox, but I would throw it on my desk, sync it with the Bluetooth keyboard, as which I do very often. And matter of fact, I'm sitting here, I've got my Nexus 7 staring me in the face with my Bluetooth keyboard on. I've got my Note 2 staring me in the face mastering this, and I've got my MacBook Air staring me in the face managing the show. show notes. So it does have that versatility. It does have that sweet spot. It's not too, it's not over the top aggressive. Hey, look at me, you know, whatever. You know, it's not going to be able to do all the audio editing on it that I would need out of a MacBook, iPad Air. But it does have, it does really good at managing my textbooks. It does really good at managing what I want it to. And just another caveat, or not a caveat, another pro, it's got that 32 gig size on it, you know? I have been, seriously, I have been trying to fill that up, 32 gigs, and I'm sitting right at 28 now, without any serious battery, without any serious memory management. I'm sitting at about 28, you know? Now, that's only because I have, yes, I'm a big Weird Al Yankovic fan, so I've got his discography loaded on there that I use that for audio streaming sometimes. I've got an AC/DC discography loaded on there as well. Kudos to the UK. You know, so I've got those two things on there. Obviously, they're going to take up some space because I'm not in a position where I can stream music all the time. But, you know, I've got stuff on there, and if I really put my mind to it, I could fill up the 32 gigs. I could, but, you know, I'm good where I'm at, you know? Nexus 7, back to you, Obi. What else you got on the Nexus 7?
Real quick, and just one more thing on the Nexus 7. That's all the reasons as well that I picked it, and also it's a pure Google experience. Big thumbs up for pure Google, because that's what, you know, after using the Samsung S4 and all those junky apps, no, thank you. I am never using a Samsung device again, unless it's pure vanilla.
Real quick question. On the list you sent me in the preliminary, you said Nexus 7 or iPad Mini Retina. You weren't sure which. Both have outrageously good specs. Both have similar form factor. What edged out the iPad? I mean, I know you've got a MacBook over there. I know you're running Mac in the house. What gave you the definitive, iPad versus Nexus? What gave you the edge to the Nexus?
What gave me the edge to the iPad, you mean? Is that what you meant?
No. You have Nexus 7 here. Oh. You've got Nexus 7 here, and that beat out the iPad Mini.
I changed it at the last minute.
Yeah.
I switched them around. I switched them around, and you know this, because number two is Steve Jobs' biography by Walter Isaacson. See, I switched them around because I didn't want two tablets kind of like in the same after each other. So, and I went back, and as we know, Steve Jobs passed away. It was a very sad time, you know.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you didn't know the guy. He, you know, and as everyone knows, I use Apple products. I am an Apple fan, as well. So I might come over fanboyish. And you use Apple products yourself.
Yes.
Steve Jobs, when I got the audiobook, by the way, and, because I just prefer Audible. And so I was listening to it, and you know that book when you listen to the book or read it, that book will make you laugh, it will make you cry.
Yes,
it was just such a good book slash audio book, and I just think, man, you know what? And right, as far as I know, this is the only official kind of work about Steve Jobs.
This came from the words of Steve Jobs. He actually called up Walter Isaacson. And said, hey, I want you to write this. So out of all the people that were out there and all the other works that are out there, whether it be unofficial or otherwise, this was the one that is in the words of Steve Jobs. And that in itself is impressive because I know he was a quiet guy. I know he was an asshole, but he was also a quiet guy. So, you know, that in itself, having that stamp of approval on it is enough for me.
Yeah, Steve Jobs never gave interviews. This for me as a fan of Apple. I was like, okay, that sold me on it. It was like, it's in his own words. He actually spoken to me. And you know he's spoken to me because there is recordings out there that Walter Isaacson has. And I don't know if he'll release those. I don't think he will. But I mean, even, and you know what, even if you're not an Apple fan, if you're just a fan of technology itself, I think you'll enjoy it. And this is why it's number two. And there's a reason why it's number two, is because, god damn it, that book is so cheap now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's under 20 bucks. It's under 20 bucks.
Exactly.
But it's a hell of a good book though.
It is fantastic.
Now, I'll tell you, I am not big on the biographies. I'm not. I either read tech journals or I read sci-fi. Those are the two. And it's, I know it's a huge contrast, but it's either tech journal or sci-fi. This I picked up out of sheer curiosity because, number one, I was informed that this was in the words of Steve Jobs. Now, I've heard the stories about how he's, you know, how he was temperamental and moody, but I was fascinated at how he was ousted from Apple and then he came back. So I was just like, I need to check this out. And I did. And actually, I just finished it. What was it? Day before yesterday, I think I finished it. And I need to go through it again because I know there's stuff that I missed on it. And it is, it's like you said, if you are a fan of technology, because it just doesn't talk about, it just doesn't talk about Apple and the story of Apple. I mean, you think about it. Steve Jobs, he was with Apple, but he associated with Gates. He associated with Schiller. He associated with Page. Okay? He had all these people in his back pocket, and he told it like it was. It might have been a little abrasive, but that's just, I mean, the fact that in the book, they cited that Larry Page went to Steve Jobs and said, what do I need to do to be a good CEO? That is an interest. If for nothing else, just the fact that one leader of a company goes to another leader of a company and says, I want my company to be like yours. That is impressive. And that's a bit of a spoiler for those who haven't read it, but it's definitely a good read. Definitely a good read for sure.
Oh yeah. I could go with a million spoilers, and I'm not going to spoil this, but there's a product tease in that book. I don't know if you remember.
They said they've
cracked the space of a product. I'm not going to say what, but people will probably know. But I mean, yeah, stuff like that. And then he said that, you know, Android is a stolen product and this and that, and he was so angry.
And
it comes across in the book as well, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm not, you know, we're not going to debate if Android's a stolen, you know, thing, but I mean, it's a fantastic book. If you've not read it, then or listen to it. But I think, in my opinion, get the audible version because you kind of visualize it more.
Definitely noteworthy. Definitely noteworthy for the list, and that's definitely true. So that leaves one spot left, Obi. You've gone over your $2,000 limit, but we'll go ahead and keep going because we're on a roll here. So what's your number one spot?
Between the two, the big iPad or the small one or the mini. I went with the mini. Now, originally I did have an iPod Touch in here. People are probably saying, wow, a lot of Apple products in this top five. But there is a reason for it. I mean, I think the mini for a lot of people is kind of the sweet spot. If you need the screen real estate, by all means, go with the iPad Air or one of the bigger iPads. But I mean, if you just want something light and small to kind of carry around, I think, I think the iPad Mini is great.
Yeah, it's got the same form factor as the Nexus 7. It'll fit in your back pocket. It's durable. It's got the iOS space on it. And that's definitely, I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, that's really good. You've got that 7-inch form. Now, I don't really want to counter or downplay anything you've got on this list because it's a very good list. The iPad Air is at the top of mine because when the iPad Air came out, one of my professors, he went out and he ordered one and he has it integrated into his classroom space now. He's like, now it's not a requirement. He's not saying you have to have this. He's like, but it is now part of the lecture for, you know, what we're doing. And so there, you know, and it just the fact that you get the seamless integration of the cloud resource, iWork, GarageBand, all that stuff to be able to use in the tablet space. I mean, that is just, that's mind blowing to me for one. But for two, that's going to make the production studio, it's going to throw it on its ear. I mean, I'm excited to be able to get that incorporated into the studio to see what I can do with it. I mean, honestly.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know how well these apps as well work on the iPad Mini.
Right.
They probably do work, like iPhoto and whatever, GarageBand and
right.
You know, whatever iMovie as well. I think for those that type of stuff, you definitely need the screen real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for basic email, web browsing, controlling your consoles, next gen, I think an iPad Mini is great. I really do. I think, you know, obviously if you want to, you know, do iMovie stuff, then yeah, why it's number one though, I mean, as well, it's not as expensive as the big iPod as well. That was the reasoning as well, because I think the iPod Touch at this point is too small.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's a good device if you want something pocket, you know, if you want to just carry something in your pocket. Basically, to give you, I've got an iPod Touch third gen. All I use that for now is basically just for Skype. If someone wants me on one of the consoles and they don't have a headset, that's pretty much my Skype, use for that.
It makes the top of my list, and here's why I went iPad Air versus the full size iPad. Number one, it's got newer technology, and number two, the screen real estate isn't as much. Okay, I still think that 10 inches is too big. If I want 10 inches, I'm gonna get a laptop. Okay, there's something about granted, I know it's 8.5 I think inches, so you know the difference. The difference between it is it's not that considerable, but it's enough. You know,
right.
It's enough to you know, how easy is this going to go in and out of my bag? Am I going to be able to do on it what I want to and need to be able to? You know, is it going to hold up to what I want and what I need? And I really think it will. I mean, you know, it comes in 16 and 32 gig sizes. It's got that powerhouse of portability that I'm looking for. You know, it's got that, it's got the design and functionality that I'm looking for as well. You know, it's not huge. Okay. It's not huge, but I mean, it's got the 1.2 megapixel in the front, 1080p recording, 720 in the back. It's got, let's see, where is it? 32.4 hour rechargeable lithium up to 10 hours. Okay, so it's got dual microphone, 3.5 millimeter, and it's got the lightning connector. Okay, so it's got the lightning connector. That means I can export it out easily to a big screen HD, you know? I mean, this is... In the industry that I'm going to, I really honestly believe that this is going to be the next big thing. And I say that with caution, because in the engineer space, you've always seen on TV how your engineers and your ADs have their great big clipboard. Well, now they're all going to these. And being able to control, you know, we've touched on a little bit already, where that cross-platform controllability, you know, the Xbox has their Android apps and their mobile apps, etc. PlayStation has their mobile apps. You can control it from your Android device, from your Apple device. You know, well, this is designed to be able to go in and out of a bag to control and set up a storyboard or design something or edit something, and then boom, off it goes. I mean, a 9.4 inches high, 6.6 inches wide, okay, less than a pound, okay, you got a 9.7. Now, granted, the 9.7 versus the 10, not big of a deal breaker, but it's enough. It's got that IPS technology as well. Okay, it's got that dominance on it. Plus, it's an iPad. I've wanted an iPad for a long time, and there was a long time where I didn't want anything to do with iPad. But you know, the new technology and things have changed and evolved, and plus it's got that A7 on it, A7 64-bit processor. I mean, once again, Apple has put themselves on top of the pile and said, we're king of the mountain. Who wants to try and knock us down?
Yeah, that's true. Also, I'm going to go a step further and say, you know, I know no one cares about, a lot of people don't care, but I mean, I want good build quality in my stuff I use. You know, I want it to feel nice in the hand. Steve Jobs always said that. There was a quote in the book. He said he wants his products to be lickable.
Yeah.
And it's true. It is absolutely true. When I hold my 4S in my hand, and yes. Speaking of the Lightning adapter, I've still yet to adopt the Lightning adapter because I've not got any new Apple devices. I mean, I've got my iPad 1, believe it or not, first gen. You know, that kind of just does basic. I'm just using that for basic, you know. If I need email on the go or web browser, it fills my needs. That's why I've not upgraded my iPad, because it's just like, there's no point. I don't need it for anything else at the minute. Once I start, you know, playing more intense games and stuff, that's when I'm going to need the newer one. But, yeah, you know, when I hold my hold that in my hand, the iPad 1 or my iPhone 4S, they feel good, you know? They feel rock solid. You know, the aluminium's nice and
aluminium.
And,
I love it how you guys say that, aluminium. Sorry.
Yeah, first metal, you aluminium. Know.
we're the American. It's, you know, I got it. It's just, it's great, man. All right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Oh, no, and, you know, the MacBook as well, you know, I never use a keyboard on a Windows laptop. I always used an external keyboard. I've still got my Samsung laptop still hanging around. It's plastic. It's terrible. Never used the keyboard or trackpad on it. On my MacBook Pro, I use both of those things. And, you know, I just think that OS is great. And I sound so fanboyish here, but
no,
I mean,
it's fine.
I will admit, I have given Android a chance,
right,
as well. You can't say I've not given it a fair shot, because I have. And yeah, fair enough. It was Samsung, you know, Samsung juices, Samsung sauce. Sorry,
sauce,
as you say on the show a lot. Yeah, Samsung sauce. And I'm, you know, I definitely need to get on the vanilla Android, because that's where I need to go. But for me, the Apple stuff, yeah, you pay a premium for it, but it will last you for a long time. It really
works.
Will.
It just works.
I mean, look at me. I'm still, I still got my iPad 1, for God's sake.
Right.
So, and, I want to say, just real quick.
Sure.
Just going back to the book. I know I've not mentioned the book a lot, but there's another book as well. And he doesn't talk to him, but it's about Johnny Ive. Or Sir Johnny Ive now. Yeah, there's another, it's not an official thing. He didn't talk to Johnny Ive. I'm trying to remember who it's by. He's been on Mac Break Weekly a few times. Basically, what the guy did, he spoke to Johnny Ive's professors and teachers at his at Oxford, I think. And as we know, Johnny Ive, if you don't know, he designs the Apple stuff, and
right,
it is well designed. All his stuff is well designed. Speaking of the OS, real quick. People didn't like the skeuomorphism.
Right.
All right. You know what? I liked it. I'm
really?
Sorry. I mean,
no. See, here's the counter on that one. Here's the counter. Nobody, everybody bitched and moaned and screamed and complained and argued and yelled and against skeuomorphism. Okay, so iOS 7 came out, and in an effort to alleviate that, but yet again, everybody still bitched and moaned and screamed and argued and yelled that, oh, we can't. It's making us sick. I got a tummy ache. Oh, this is. So, you know, as far as whether people like it or whether people don't like it, humans are fickle, okay? We can't make up our damn mind. It's like Steve Jobs said in his own book that was published by Walter Isaacson, people don't know what they want. We need to tell them what they want, okay? I'll take that one step further, okay? I can get a pretty good idea what I want. Now, granted, as Mr. Old School likes to say all the damn time, I'm the exception to the rule. I'm part of that 5% that, you know, that is ahead of the curve. We are part of that 5% that's ahead of the curve as technologists and as those are in the know. Okay? But people don't know what they want. They have to be told what they want. Okay? And the point of this podcast is to share information so people can make an educated decision. So, you know, as far as you liking the skeuomorphism, Joe down the street who didn't like it, you know, that, it's a basis of opinion. Okay? I'm a Samsung fan. I like Samsung. I'm a Samsung fanboy. I'm rooted. I'm robbed. I can't stand TouchWiz, though. So I got rid of it, okay? Launchers and this, that, you know, it comes down to it. I hate to put this generalization in the iPhone space, but skeuomorphism, great. Skeuomorphism, in this sense, could be classified as nothing more than applesauce. See what I did there? Applesauce.
I just think, I mean, I'm gonna say, iOS 7 is pretty terrible.
Really?
I'm not saying the look.
Back up. Terrible. Please share. Please. You have to share now. Because.
I found many bugs.
Oh, wow.
I have found many, and so I'll tell you a couple of bugs. So when I first slide open the phone, and then I go into tapping my what you call it, the passcode, it will sometimes it will crash. They call it Springboard. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
Right.
Springboard is it's like something, I technically don't know what it is, but I kind of know about it because of MacBreak. Basically, Springboard kind of crashes a lot.
Oh wow!
And also, what happens is I'll type in two numbers on my passcode, right, and it will crash and go back to the lock screen. I don't know if that's anything to do with Springboard. I guess maybe. Also, I've noticed another bug where when I'm organizing my, say, one of the screens on my phone to kind of, you know, when the icon jiggles and moving it in folders, what will happen is it will jump out of the folder again and back, and it'll take all the apps out of the folder, stuff like that. And I think it's Springboard. I really want to say it's Springboard crashing.
Oh.
But I've not researched enough to know. But yeah, that's just a couple of bugs. But yeah, I really don't like iOS. The look of it's really good because it's like a new, like a fresh coat of paint,
right?
But I mean, you know that whole stuff where, you know, people saying it's making you sick and stuff like that. You can turn it off. It's in the accessibility settings of all places. You can turn it off.
Accessibility for the motion sick. Shut it off in accessibility, where accessibility is typically designed for those who are handicapped and have special needs. Nothing against those folks, by the way, because it does have its place. And so the motion sick and those that have the inner ear problems, then go ahead and shut off the 3D rendering. That makes a lot of sense.
I don't know why it's in there. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know why it's in there, but it really is. I forgot what the technical term for it is. The whole, you know, when you close an app and it all jumps, you know, the jumpiness of iOS.
Yeah,
you can turn it all off. The motion. Yeah, the motion.
Motion,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, the motion, basically. Yeah, you can turn all that off and it's in accessibility. I was like, that's weird. Okay, I'll turn that off. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's better when you turn that off, because when you close an app, it just basically just fades into the home screen again. And that's what I want.
See, and that's the thing. I'm not big on all the extra transitions. You know, the swipes, the moves, and the bounces, and the doo-doo-doo, whatever, you know, the magnifications and all that. I'm not big on that. Just give me the damn menu. When I tap on it, it needs to launch. I don't need all the extra crap. I don't need all the sauce. I don't need, I mean, you know, touch. I hate TouchWiz. I've said it. I hate it. I upgraded my girlfriend's device not too long ago. I got her an HTC One. Messed around with it for a little bit since.
Yeah,
we'll just leave it at that. But I have the Google Experience Launcher on all my devices now, and with no animations. And I tell you what, that right there, that is vanilla. That is about as vanilla as you're going to get, because it does exactly that. Oh, boom, here's a menu. Boom, there. Oh, look, boom, launch. No extra bouncing, no effects, no special crap, no sauce. Right there, dude. You want to talk about pure vanilla? Google Experience Launcher. That's what you want.
Yeah,
and that's you know, talking to you right now, that's kind of what's got the little antenna, you know, kind of flipping back. Do what? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, at least Apple, you know, they've given you the option to turn it off, but, you know, the bounciness and the fireworks, basically, you know, at least you can, they've given you an option. I mean, I think if Steve Jobs was there, I don't think he would have said, no, I want this bounciness and flair, and, you know, I want that in there. I also think, going back to the skeuomorphism real quick, because when I open Notepad, I want it to look like Notepad. I want the yellow, you know, I want the yellow and the brown at the top.
Right.
You know, I want it to look like Notepad. The only app I didn't, you know, because that, I know what it is, and it's less, when you look at it, it looks nice. Nice. I mean, it sounds silly, but I mean, you know, when I open Reminders, I want it to look like a page, you know? The only app I didn't like when on iOS 6, the only one I didn't like was Game Center, because it was all this felt and leather and wood design, it was pretty terrible.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, I do miss the skeuomorphism, though. I really do.
Really?
I'm probably, like, out of 100 people, I'll probably be, like, the only one.
You're probably, like, the part of that 5%. You know, how I'm part of that 5% in educated decision. You're part of that 5% who miss it. I mean, they're just, it goes back to what I said before. People pissed and moaned about skeuomorphism, so they took it away. And then they pissed and moaned about the new OS. You know, well, we want our skeuomorphism back. Well, make up your damn mind, you know? And then it's also, like we said, the Steve Jobs book, people don't know what they want. People are fickle. They're not going to make up their mind. You need to tell them what they want, which, if you think about it, that's not being selfish. That's not being domineering. That's not being a CEO. That makes sense. And I'm not saying that in the HTC sense either. That makes, that's business. That's knowledge. People don't know what they want. You got to tell them. You know, the little flyers that you get in the newspaper. I don't know if you guys get that over there in the UK or not. We, Sundays and Thursdays, we get all the ads for all the stores around town, even some stores that aren't around town. And that's got all the, you know, stuff that's on sale for that week or special prices or things like that. And, you know, you think about it, that's telling me what I want. Ooh, cheese is on sale. Ooh, milk's on sale. Ooh, they got a bike on sale or a TV or something like that on sale. You know, that might be the deciding factor of when I want to buy a TV or milk or cheese or whatever might be in there. You know, that might be the knocking $50 off the price. Holy crap, you better, but yeah, line me up. You know, it just, people don't know what they want until you tell them. People don't know what's available until you tell them. People don't know what's out there until you tell them. That's why you've got podcasts out there. That's why you've got people like me that do this stuff just for, you know, because they like it. You got folks like Old School who, you know, well, I don't like the words that came out of his mouth. So, you know, but it's sharing the knowledge. You know, you got people like you and Pook and all the guys that are going to be on Pook's show. You know, you've got people that share the knowledge. And that's what it is. Because people don't, they don't know. They don't. I have people tell me all the time, I'm dumb when it comes to this. No, you're not, because you've got an opinion. You're in this space. You utilize the technology. You know, I invited one guy onto the show not too long ago. He's like, well, you know, I'll tell you right now, I'm not as smart as you when it comes to this. You've got an opinion. You know, I don't care if you think you're smart or not. Everybody has sensibility because, A, number one, you're carrying the device. You're utilizing the ecosystem that's out there. You're in the space as a consumer, okay? You use it. You made a decision. You have to have an opinion somewhere about something, and I'll find it, you know? And it just, it's, and I didn't believe it when I read that. You know, people don't know what they want. I was just, and then I thought about it. It's one of those things where when you first read it, you're just like, yeah, whatever, screw off. But then you think about it, it's like, wait a minute, how did I come about to owning my Note 2? Somebody told me about it. How did I come about owning my Nexus 7? Somebody told me about it. How did I come about owning 90% of what I have? Well, somebody told me about it. I didn't just pull something, ooh, check that out. You know, I just Google cell phone and pick one at random. No, somebody told me about it. And that's what it is. Yeah. People don't know.
And there's great networks out there, and we constantly mention, you know, us as well, and Twit is another great resource.
Twit's a very good resource.
I think Twit is my, I honestly don't go to places like The Verge or CNET or any of those places. My go-to place for tech stuff is just Twit, because I can watch, like, I can access it anywhere. I can, if I want, I can watch it on my TV if I want. Just, you know, just open up a browser.
Right.
And just go to the site. Most of the times I just listen to audio.
Right.
Because I don't want the video. That's how good Twit is. They do such a good job in audio. You don't need the video, really, because Leo is so good explaining things over audio.
Oh, yeah. So, and that's what I do. Know, I consume them on the audio level.
You know, Twit is so great.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and, because it's just easier.
It is. And it's, making that educated decision. And I got on a great big old tirade last week with all the problems that I was having in technology, et cetera. You know, make the educated decision. Ask. There's people that are out there, whether you know them on a first name basis or you don't. If you just Google a question, you can come up with something, you know, and I'm going to refer back to this again. And strangely enough, I'm doing that often today. As Moore's law continues to exercise itself, where integrated circuits double every 2 years, it's going to get harder to make that educated decision without the information. So therefore, find some people that can give you the information so you can make the educated decision based on the information that's available. Would you agree with that, Obi?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you don't care about Twit's opinion, because let's be honest, Twit is a professional kind of outlet, really. I mean, they've got sponsors, they've got this, they've got that. They are more professional. They're not independent. If you do want, if I want to go professional level, I'll say Twit. But I really do favor the independents, because that's where you're going to get the most honest opinion. I honestly don't think, I don't think Leo would kind of like be on the payroll of anybody, because he's just not that type of guy. But if you really don't trust Leo Laporte, I mean, you can go to YouTube as well. That's another good resource of independent opinions, because I do it all the time. If I want a review on a product and I want an independent review, YouTube is the first place I go, because I want it in video form. I want to see the product too.
Right, exactly.
You can't do that over. See, this is what I don't. I'm going to go on a tirade here. This is what I don't get about reviews on CNET or The Verge. I'm not knocking those sites, but I'm sorry. I can't deal with those kind of reviews because it's in text. I need a visual kind of reference, really.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if you're the same.
No, I agree with that 100%. Sometimes, you know, I can sit and I can listen to a review, and if it requires more research, then I'll do that. But before I make an actual decision on what I'm going to buy, you better believe I'm going to do all my research. The iPad Air, I've been on Apple's website and in the store, I don't know how many times. I've looked at it. I've checked it out. I've gone over the specs multiple times. So when I go in, I already know what I want. I've made my educated decision already. And good luck trying to change my mind. I mean, I've done my reviews. I've checked out YouTube. I've checked out the Apple store. I've checked out, you know, when I got my Nexus 7, I was on the Google Play store. I was reading the specs. I was checking out YouTube. I was checking out all the different resources that are out there so I can make an educated decision. Because I hate buyer's remorse. I really do. I hate having buyer's remorse. So the way that I can beat that is by making an educated decision. You know, and we've topped the hour and a half
and
mark.
And you know what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say real quick. See, Apple have got this nail with the whole stores, you know?
Oh,
Google
doesn't have
stores yet.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I mean. See, Apple have got this nail with the retail stores. You can go in there, play with the products. I know Microsoft has got stores. As far as I know, I don't know if there is no Google stores. I'm assuming Google is going to get into this space at some point. I know Samsung is too.
Right.
I think physical stores, I mean, as much as people say, oh no, everyone's doing it online these days, I think you need physical stores. I really do, because people have to go in there, because you can't. I can listen to someone on YouTube or Twitter until I'm blue in the face, but until I've held the product in my hand.
Right, exactly.
You gotta
see how it fits before you actually go. I mean,
yeah.
And that's last week I broke down the Sony Xperia Z Ultra. That's a new Play Store edition, 6.5-inch phablet device. And I haven't held one, but I've seen it plenty of different size hands hold it, and it's too big for a phone. Sorry. Unless I've got it hooked up with Bluetooth, that's a different story. But I cannot imagine holding that thing to my head and talking on it. There's until you actually get there and hold it. I mean, before I bought my Note 2, I went to a couple different cell phone stores and I picked it up. I was like, okay, how's it fit? How's it feel? You know, put an OtterBox on the outside of this. It's going to add some weight. So add bulk on top of this. And okay. And then I made my decision, you know, so getting out there, getting into the stores, and Samsung, they've got their big, you know, where Samsung doesn't actually have the proprietary store, they've got the front in Best Buy. I mean, you go into Best Buy and I mean, Samsung staring you right in the face. Hey, check us out. And they're there. I mean, they're on it. Samsung's got the idea. Now, whether you get the regular user like the individual or you get folks like you or me where the SOS is just so, ear grating, mind blowing, disturbing, annoying, stupid, ass backwards, whatever you want to use, you know, it doesn't function the way we want it to. So therefore, for people like you, it just turns off. For people like me, we go out and we find something else. So
I'll tell you the biggest turn off on it was, real quick before we end this. Sure. When you come from the Apple world, you know, when you come from the Apple side of things, you are so used to everything being so simple.
Right.
This is the problem. When you go into the Android side of things, yeah, you can customize it and get down and gritty, but when it comes to rooting your product, it kind of does get complicated because you need to have Windows and all these other tools and stuff. And
a lot of your root devices are becoming Linux compatible, by the way. Linux and Mac compatible. I know this because I bricked my device twice this past week, and I was able to get it, save it with my Mac and my Linux box. So just the tools.
That is good to know.
The tools are out there. The tools are out. Now, if you've got a PC, that's the easiest way to go, but the tools are out there. Like, you got Heimdall for Mac, which has gotten a lot better. You've got command line in Linux, which you just can't beat it because ADB that's the old school way of rooting your device. And it's been a blast. We've only got like three items on our list, but we've had a great show. I want to thank you for coming on out and hanging out with me today. And just as we get ready to put a lid on it, final thoughts, plugs, and shout outs. Go away. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't get to your top five. Maybe we can kind of get to that after the show. But plugs, yeah. People, you know, if you're listening to it on Twitter, then you're already following me. But yeah, it's Obi-Wan Jabroni on Twitter. That's with an E at the end, not an I. That's the same for Xbox Live and PlayStation and Network, Nintendo and whatever else IDs are out there. also, like Piper mentioned, we are going to be doing a Talking Some Shit tonight about the PS4. Just the usual Talking Some Shit, and probably going to add the PlayStation 4, my initial thoughts on it so far, which we didn't even get to on this show.
Nope.
And this is the first time I've not talked about this for a while, but this is going to be my final plug or shout out is there's this website called VOG, VOGnetwork.com, and basically it's a network and a podcasty show, you know, a website, but this is the cool bit about it. What you could do, you can earn points on this website by listening to podcasts and checking in live. You also get loot, you know, it's stupid loot, but the thing is, they've added this new feature called raffles. So every point you get on the website enters you into the raffle, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this month, actually last month was kind of cool, it was a card game. I know you're into card games.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it was Cards Against Humanity. They were giving that away. Huh. And so this month they're giving away $20 in, I don't know, whatever store you like, Xbox Live, PSN, even Google Play, iTunes. They're giving, $20 away for your chosen store. So
and what website is this again?
Reason to kind of, you know.
What's this website
VOG
again?
Network. VOG
Network.
VOG Network. VOG. Yeah, .com. And there's good shows on there, kind of geeky stuff. It stands for Voice of Geeks, but it's a really good network. It's got it's got good sci-fi stuff on there, Doctor Who if you're into that. It's loads of shows, I mean a lot of good shows, good content on there. Plus don't forget checking in, and speaking of checking in, I'm actually number one on the leaderboard, so there you go.
that's cool. Alright, well thank you once again, Obi-Wan Jabroni. Make sure you're checking out the VOG Voice of Geeks Network.com. Make sure you're following Obi-Wan Jabroni. Gamer tag, Twitter handle, it's all the same. Jabroni with an E, because I was taken, obviously. PookNinja.podomatic.com. E and PK Punk and Pook Ninja. And they got a complete panel getting ready to break down the PS4. That's going to be happening tonight, but you can always program that on the RSS and get it on the download. Now, you can always find trending mobile technology right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you just check in every day, folks, because you never know what's going to be trending next. We got lots of great shows out here. We got stuff for everybody, okay? Just check us out. All it takes is a little thing. Matter of fact, you can program the RSS in your podcast. Podcast Manager to where it taps once a day, and you'll be able to see what is there. From all of us to all of you on the Trending Topics Network, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.